You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Hi and welcome to Money Control. This is Nayanika Chakraborty and you are tuned into Rajneeti, the podcast that will give you insights and updates on political developments in India. Today we have with us retired IAS officer Anil Swarup on the show. He has served as school secretary and school education secretary in the current NDA government. Hi and welcome to the show, sir. Can you tell us, in your stint with the NDA government, what have been the most significant changes for the civil services?
What has happened is one of the major developments has been the change in the Prevention of Corruption Act.
Sure.
13(1)(d) of the PCA has been amended to ensure that civil servants who were unnecessarily being hauled up for even bona fide acts will no more be hauled up. So this would bring a greater comfort to the civil service in terms of taking decisions, because earlier when they took decisions, irrespective of whether there was bona fide or not, they were being hauled up. To my mind, this is probably the biggest change that has come about or brought about by the current government in terms of making the civil service secure from such allegations.
Sure.
Which were not based on any mala fide intent of the concerned officer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, one more question, sir. At one of your book launches, you had suggested that the UPSC form a panel for existing postings in the civil services.
Yes.
So
yes.
What prompted you to make such a suggestion?
This came, if you read my article in the print, I have clearly explained as to why I say what I say.
Sure.
Because I have been personally of the view that posting to critical positions should be based on efficiency and integrity and not on allegiance.
Sure.
The what happened in the CBI is a classic example of officers probably not befitting those positions were posted there and then fought amongst themselves, bringing the institution to disrepute. And I'm on record on that. And if you read my article in the print, I have clearly brought out why I say what I say. My contention is for all critical positions, we have to use institutions like UPSC, which can then make recommendations to the government in terms of who should be posted where. UPSC can recommend a panel of three and then the government can pick up from them.
Sure.
Leaving the entire discretion to the government leaves it open to, allegations like allegiance being the criteria for posting of officers to these critical posts.
Okay. Sir, this would now be, you were coal secretary, one of your stints was as coal secretary. The sector was reeling under the ramifications of the Supreme Court Coalgate ruling. So, you had also kick-started the coal mining auction.
Yes.
So, then how would you rate the success of the move and how did it help?
First of all, this government can take the credit for putting in place a totally transparent system of auctioning of natural resources to begin with coal. I don't think anyone pointed any finger towards the process that got put in place.
Sure.
It was totally transparent and it came in by representation from everywhere. All discretion was taken away and it was coal block allocation was done through a transparent tendering process. And those that bid the best got the deal.
So, again, now this is, again, coming back to your stint as the education minister, secretary. So, this was, when the 2014 polls, again, was seeing a lot of reports suggested that India had not made the most of the demographic boom by, failing to improve its education standards back then. So, since then, and especially keeping in mind your stint as the secretary, what were the key steps that were taken in the education sector?
There were two, three major steps that were taken and I hope they are taken to their logical conclusion. Number one, earlier education was seen in a very segmented form. So you had a Sarvashiksha Abhiyan which was for class 1 to 8. Then you have Madhyamik Shiksha Abhiyan which was class 9 and 10. And these were two separate schemes. And there was no one to take care of class 11 and 12 or even preschool.
Sure.
Now, in place of these two segmented schemes, the government came up with a scheme that looked at education as a continuous whole from pre-nursery to class 12. So a single scheme was formulated and discretion was left to the state governments to decide where did they want focus. Because a state like Kerala would require a different focus and a state like UP would have a different focus. So I think the second point, which is important and was incorporated in the scheme, was providing flexibility to the state government. The third important thing that happened was that more than 10 lakh teachers were untrained and they were teaching in schools. So the act was amended to enable these teachers to get the examination done so that only those that passed these examinations continue to teach in the school. So a special window was created for them for a year and a half for them to undertake this course, this BEd course. And those that will qualify will continue to be the teachers. One of the primary problems in education in India was the quality of teachers. And that in turn led to poor quality of delivery of education. So it was essential that this needs to be corrected. The fourth important step that was taken by the government was in terms of allowing the states to take a call on whether there should be detention or no detention. Earlier, the RTE mandated that there can't be any detention. I was personally of the view, and I'm glad that everyone agreed with it, that this should be left to the state to decide whether they wanted to detain a child or not. How can someone sitting in Delhi take a decision on behalf of children in different states? It is for the state to take a call. So, again, the states have been given the right to decide whether they want to detain child or not. They can still detain it, but the discretion has been left to the state government. So the bottom line is that earlier, everything was extremely centralized, the central government taking every decision on behalf of everyone. A lot of discretion has now been given to the states, and they can do that. And finally, I mean, I can go on and on. And finally, I think one of the finest things that was happened was the plan for using education as a tool for mainstreaming children in Jammu and Kashmir. And I'm glad that even after 8 months or 9 months of my departure as education secretary, the plan is still being implemented and implemented well.
Sure. And so what would you believe would still be certain areas of improvement in the education?
Oh, there are a huge number of improvements that are required. I mean, this is a work in progress. But I'm glad what has happened is a good initiative. And I hope the new government continues with the initiatives that have been taken by this government.
Sure. So in a related question, recently Union Minister Prakash Javdekar announced that PhDs in India should now only be on topics of national importance. What is your take on this?
My personal view is that central government should have a broad framework, should not mandate everything sitting in Delhi. I think there's a lot of wisdom that exists in the states also. So I think the broad national framework should be given by the central government because there are national issues involved. But a lot should be left to the state governments also to decide as to how they take it forward. Because India is a very varied country. Every state has its own nuances. We can't sitting in Delhi decide for everyone as to what they should do, especially in case of education. Broad parameters can be defined. Yes, that is as we have a national curriculum framework. That sort of framework needs to be there. But beyond that, I think the finer points need to be left to the state governments to decide.
Sure. You said in your book, Not Just a Civil Servant, that then Uttar Pradesh Chief Minister Kalyan Singh had wanted a peaceful resolution to the Babri demolition case.
Yes. Yes.
As matters stand now, and with two previous attempts at mediation not successful, do you think there is still hope for a peaceful resolution to this?
We all live by hope. You know, the Berlin Wall came down quite peacefully, didn't it?
Sure.
The Cold War ended peacefully, didn't it? Okay. If all this can happen, why can't this happen? It's a question of how you approach it. And that's why in my book I have written that only a fool would think that Kalyan Singh wanted a demolition of the Babri. He wanted resolution of the issue, certainly.
Yes.
But not the way it happened.
Thank you, Mr. Swaroop, for giving us your time and sharing your valuable views. With that, it's a wrap on this episode of Rajneeti. For more news and updates, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com. Thanks for listening.
This has been a Money Control presentation.